This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and grads in career transition bridge to better employment.
Hello and welcome to The Pulse, Issues in Healthcare, the podcast where healthcare leaders share their thoughts on the issues of the day. This is Leslie Bruce, your host and the Director of Healthcare Leadership and Community Outreach for UC San Diego Extension. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Paul Viviano, the CEO of the UC San Diego Health System. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Pleasure to be here.
Well, we're delighted. As you know, we like to talk about education and career here. So if I'm not mistaken, you're approaching your third anniversary with UC San Diego Health System. Congratulations.
That is correct. And they said I wouldn't last, but here we are.
What do they know? Yeah. So tell us, how did you come to what must be a very big job?
Well, the first answer is by luck and by happenstance. And so I've really been blessed to have a career that's been dedicated to healthcare exclusively and healthcare management. And so like most people, you start your career early on. I was an analyst and then wound up getting responsibility to manage services and programs. But really, the first big break of my career came, believe it or not, at the tender young age of 27 years old when a board asked me to be the CEO of a community hospital. And my initial response was they must have been insane, but they offered me the job.
But you went with it.
And I went with it, and turned out to be a great career break. And, you know, as I look back, obviously the world has changed. Was I really ready at that tender young age? No, but I grew into the job quickly because you have a lot of responsibility and a lot of accountability, and it was a good situation. It wasn't a turnaround. It wasn't a real difficult set of circumstances. So I learned and built my career from there. And you know, being responsive to opportunities and thinking about where you can be successful in a leadership role is something that a lot of executives miss. You know, you look at an opportunity and you think about, you know, can that be successful? And that's an important analysis to go through, but an often missed opportunity to evaluate is, can I be successful leading in that set of circumstances and in that environment? And it turns out that first career opportunity to be a CEO, my skill sets matched what they needed, and I could be successful there and was. So it turned out to be kind of a lucky thing. You don't think much of that oftentimes when you apply for a job.
And then what happened? Where did you go from there?
Well, to a bigger health system.
And then became
a regional executive over a collection of hospitals and health systems, and then to run an entire health system and a collection of 17 hospitals. And, you know, at the time in the early 90s, you know, well over $2 billion of revenue.
And where was that?
That was in the St. Joseph Health System in Orange, California.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
And so it was a religious organization sponsored by the Sisters of St. Joseph of Orange. We had hospitals in Northern California, Southern California, and in Texas. And we developed some medical practice foundations. We actually owned an IPA, a PPO, and also owned an HMO at one point in time. So diverse set of opportunities. And had the opportunity to pursue what was a long-held career aspiration, which was to work at an academic setting, and so accepted the job to be the CEO of the health system at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. And again, just a great opportunity because I wanted, there was something that was attracting me to an academic setting. Hard to describe exactly why, but I thought it was dynamic and changing and like the different missions. So it was a little bit of a unique set of circumstances. It was a joint venture. The university owned a part of the health system, and the partner was a for-profit entity, a publicly traded company. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be a great opportunity to blend the financial realities of an investor with an academic enterprise, and it was a great experience.
Wow.
And so I had an opportunity to grow and lead and find out whether if I really did love an academic setting, and it turned out to be true. I really liked it. And this blending of having three different distinct but interrelated missions of academic responsibilities, and we can talk more about that, research responsibilities, and then healthcare responsibilities. The nexus of all that is a health system and an academic setting. It turned out to be a great experience for me.
Well, it sounds fascinating. I want to get into academic medical centers here in depth in just a minute, but before I get away from your career, let's talk just for a second about where you went to school.
So I did my undergraduate work at UC Santa Barbara, and I had two majors, economics and political science. And because I thought at the tender young age of 17 that the world revolved around either economics or politics,
I think you're pretty close, but it
worked out to be disciplines and majors that I was interested in. And you know, like most folks, if you're interested, you tend to study and do well. And so it was a great experience at UC Santa Barbara, and had a lot of different thoughts about graduate schools. Thought about law school pretty seriously and some other disciplines. Wound up getting accepted into a unique program at UCLA to get a master's in public health and a master's in public administration. And so it turned out to be a great experience, and obviously the public health experience has served me well throughout my career. And so that dynamic setting, again, of a public health school on the campus with the medical school and a dental school and a health system, it was really fascinating. It was a great experience from an academic perspective.
See, that's really worthwhile, and I think people are interested in knowing, you know, what are the kinds of things that people can do. And I think they're not always clear what the wide variety of options can get them where they want to go.
Right. And I always tell, you know, folks who ask me for advice, I don't give career advice, but you know, finding the right academic preparation is really taking advantage of what's there. Mm. You know, most of these universities are just outstanding. Clearly, UC San Diego, UCLA, UC Santa Barbara, you can name, you know, countless others. There are so many different things to take advantage of. And if you have any intellectual interest in these things, to pursue them is really a great once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, because there's so much diversity and so many things to take advantage of on most of these college campuses. It's fantastic.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more there. So let's go into UC San Diego Health System and academic medical centers in general. First, let's set the stage by talking about what actually comprises the UC San Diego Health System. Can you give us a sense of the size and the scope?
So the size and the scope of the UC San Diego Health System includes the very traditional, so that includes two hospital campuses, the Hillcrest Hospital campus, where we have approximately 390 inpatient beds, and a variety of clinics and other clinical operations, and the La Jolla campus, which includes about 200 beds at the Sulpizio Cardiovascular Center and the Thornton Hospital. And then, of course, we're building the new Jacobs Medical Center, which is an additional 245 beds. And so this responsibility that I have includes also some non-traditional things. In many academic medical centers, you see the hospitals are separate from the faculty practice plan, separate from the clinical practices in the academic clinical departments. Here it's all one health system, so everything that has to do with healthcare I'm responsible for, including all the ambulatory clinics, the faculty practice plan, etc. And so it's a little bit of a unique set of circumstances. The chairs of the academic departments here, through a reorganization that the Vice Chancellor for Health Sciences and the Dean of the School of Medicine, David Brenner, implemented a few years ago, indicates and reflects that the chairs report to Dr. Brenner for their academic and research responsibilities and report to me for their clinical responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So it's a matrixed organization, which most major health systems and academic institutions are matrixed. So the chairs have a dual reporting relationship, but everything that has to do with clinical responsibilities is the responsibility of the CEO of the health system. So a not completely unique, but a rather special assembly of responsibilities.
It sounds daunting, but I'm sure you must, you know, have a way. One of the things that I think is sort of interesting is that none of all of this that you just described would exist if UC San Diego were not in the business of training physicians. And so that's kind of amazing to think about, and yet this is this massive, exciting enterprise that you preside over. Why help our audience understand why academic medical centers are so different from other health systems?
So maybe we can start with UC San Diego and then get more general from there. So the founding of UC San Diego, and this is a relatively new university, we just graduated our 43rd class from the School of Medicine last June. So a remarkable trajectory to be 43 years old and to be a top 20 medical school from an academic perspective, and a top 10 medical school from a research perspective, is really a remarkable trajectory. And so the founding of UC San Diego really was focused on science and research, and then teaching, becoming a medical school, was part of the original vision for UC San Diego. And so if you think of an academic institution in this specific respect having three missions, as I mentioned previously, academics, teaching and training physicians, the physicians of tomorrow, both medical students as well as residents and fellows, providing research, translational research most especially, but even fundamental research, and then providing clinical care. Clearly providing clinical care was a distant third in the hierarchy of the academic institution at UC San Diego. And so as the years evolved, it became apparent that the economics of teaching and doing research and providing clinical care, that the clinical revenues began to become so astoundingly large that we needed to make an investment in providing more clinical care. And so our initial foray into clinical care was the acquisition of the county's hospital in Hillcrest. And our mission at the time was we wanted to be just big enough to teach our medical students and our residents and fellows. That was our mission. Now our mission's different. Now our mission is to have, as I mentioned, we have a nationally ranked top 20 medical school and a top 10 nationally ranked school from a research perspective. Our goal is to have a nationally prominent, of the same stature, clinical enterprise. And so today, with the emphasis of growth and development in the clinical enterprise, just to put, you asked about some numbers previously, just to put it in context, today our clinical revenues are about $1.7 billion, and we have about 10,000 employees in the provision of health care. The academic budget is remarkably smaller than that, obviously, and the research budget's about $625 million. And so
that is remarkable.
You get a sort of an indication of the size and scope of the enterprise. The healthcare revenues now dwarf the academic revenues and cost structure, obviously, and now are easily three times as big as the research enterprise. And you wouldn't have predicted that 25 years ago. And so the reality of it is today that our mission, this people refer to it as the tripartite mission, that we have three equally precious and critically important missions, that today the financial success of the healthcare enterprise helps support the growth and development of both research and academics. And 40 years ago, it wasn't that way. 40 years ago, research supported
clinical care.
And so it's an evolution. And you know, part of leading in this environment is that things evolve, and what worked yesterday won't necessarily work tomorrow, because the framework changes, the construct changes, the reimbursement realities change. And so, you know, part of our academic responsibilities is to prepare leaders to evolve and to change and to be able to manage differently, to continue to be outstanding, to demonstrate superior performance in the midst of a sea of change, which defines healthcare today.
Absolutely. In fact, you just hit on a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. One being, of course, you know, the raising up of the clinical enterprise and how, frankly, outstanding. There are a number of awards that have come your way as a result of of success in the clinical enterprise, including, you know, U.S. News and World Reports and a lot of the America's Best Hospitals mm-hmm. kinds of things. You know, UCSD is prominent. So it's working.
Whatever. It's working, and so the vision is becoming a reality. We mm-hmm. still have a long way to go, of course. We are so proud of the rankings and the recognition. And excuse me, it's not just because of the rankings and the recognition, but it is a signal how seriously we're taking the clinical enterprise and how much we're investing. So U.S. News and World Reports, they rank 16 clinical specialties from every hospital in the country, roughly 5,500 hospitals. And so in order to be ranked means you're in the top 50 in that specific clinical enterprise. So in 2012, we had 4 of the 16 clinical specialties that U.S. News and World Report ranks in the top 50 in the United States. In 2013, we had 10. In 2014, we had 11. So 11 of the 16 that they rank were in the top 50 in the U.S., and 2 more are in the top 100. And so just remarkable
growth. You're marching forward, yeah, with a great team.
And the team is the right way to phrase it. How do you achieve such success? It really comes down to recruiting great faculty and then giving them the resources and tools to practice and to do research, translational research, to give them the tools to be successful. And so the emphasis, we can't just be a clinical enterprise, because a lot of the faculty who we recruit and work here want to work here because they can have a lab mm-hmm. and they can do research. And they can then translate that research from their lab to actual clinical care. And community hospitals can't attract those kinds of physicians. So what we have to create is laboratory space, clinical space, a translational space, teaching opportunities in order to be successful in recruiting the kind of faculty that will drive that kind of recognition, those
sure.
rankings,
sure.
Which, of course, translate into more patients being attracted to world-class faculty. So it becomes a little bit of a synergy.
Right, sure. A virtuous circle,
yeah. mm-hmm.
they might say.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned, too, the change. And, of course, healthcare is undergoing, it's not even describable how much change is happening. And, that causes me to think, how is it affecting the mission of the health system, and what kind of leadership qualities are needed, particularly in light of all that change?
So the change and the pace of change is just remarkable. And so one of the leadership qualities that you need and look for is the ability to manage a lot of different things. And back to a previous point, to be able to see a glimpse of what the future is. No one knows exactly what it is, but to be able to know what the delivery system of tomorrow will look like. And so one great example is these rankings that I referenced used to be very traditional. They were pure quality, clinical quality and safety outcomes. What your mortality rate was, how many infections, how many readmissions, how many returns to surgery, just pure clinical outcomes, mm-hmm. which are obviously critically important, but all the rankings. And in the future, all your reimbursement will be tied not just to clinical outcomes, but also to the value component of the equation. What does it cost to provide this care? And that's a hard equation. You have to be pluralistic. You can't just think of these things from a single dimension. You have to be able to think of them from multiple dimensions, because what's important to patients today and to purchasers, health plans, employers, government, et cetera, is evolving. Mm-hmm. And a lot more of reimbursement for providers in the future is going to be variable based upon your performance, how well you manage patients, not just did you just charge them healthy, mm-hmm. but are they going to be healthier for a longer term? What was the cost of the care that you provided? And there'll be subsidies, there'll be bonuses, there'll be penalties. Medicare has announced that as much as 90% of their reimbursement for both physicians and hospitals over the next 10 years is going to be based upon performance, not just the care that you provide. And so you have to have the teams that can conceptualize how that's going to evolve and build the right delivery systems to be successful. And that's just one dimension. There are lots of other dimensions of healthcare change.
That's fascinating. I think, you know, we're really looking at people who can not just cope with change, but embrace it and anticipate and build right. for the future.
Well, like, and be a leader in it.
Exactly.
To be a leader in the midst of all these changes. And, you know, one of the definitions, of course, is for people to follow you, for you to have the credibility.
And the influence.
And the influence and the motivation and the inspiration for teams, physicians, managers, caregivers, nurses, et cetera, all to say that's a vision I embrace, and those are the right kinds of tactics and strategies to be successful to achieve that vision. It's easy to define it, the vision statement. Great, how do you get there is the hard part.
Right.
And to be a leader in all that and have these teams follow you is part of the art and science of being a leader today.
I can certainly understand. Are there characteristics you look for in your team people that are going to be able to do this kind of work?
So there are lots of descriptions that go into it. Obviously, you have to be flexible, and you have to be devoted and dedicated to patients and demonstrably superior performance and quality and outcomes. You have to understand the economics of the circumstances because, again, that's become such an important part of the equation. Leadership qualities, the ability to be articulate and to be passionate about what you believe in, all make a great leader. And yet, on top of that, it's a lot of hard work. These are endless hours, and some of it's not thankless and. There's more to do in a day than you can possibly imagine. So the ability to prioritize things and have a great work ethic is all part of the equation.
Well, you know, it's funny because I remember you and I spoke about a year ago, and we were talking about the strategic planning process, and you know, you had mentioned how making these fundamental changes was hard work for everyone. And you know, I know it was. I mean, it's like turning a aircraft carrier, you know, and it was just quite remarkable to even think about. How is that going? How do you feel like this process is going?
So it feels like we're off to a good start, and I think we're starting to move the battleship. You know, we measure ourselves by the rankings, and so that's an important measure, but it is just one dimension. We measure ourselves based upon financial performance, which has been strong. We measure ourselves based upon market share, and we've been gaining market share. In the last 5 years in San Diego County, hospital volumes have been roughly flat. So if you look at all the discharges in San Diego County over the last 5 years, the growth has been less than 1%. Our growth, UC San Diego Health System growth in hospital volumes, have grown over 19% over that same 5-year horizon.
Wow, that's great.
So we're taking market share away from others, and so that is a measure. We have payers who want to contract with us, want to create new products with us, which is an important part of the dynamics and the delivery system going forward. We have physicians in the community who want to affiliate with us. We have hospitals in the community that want to affiliate with us. So many of the things that we've undertaken are going well. And, you know, again, we've got two fantastic main locations now with several others. And so we're building our delivery system based upon what we think are the opportunities in the marketplace. But again, all these represent very significant investments.
They certainly do. Now, obviously, UC San Diego is very large, and you have a large enterprise, and yet you partner with some critical organizations in this community. And I thought it might be interesting to hear about those partnerships and what those entail.
So, you know, we have partnerships virtually all over the county, and some are with other major healthcare providers. Mm-hmm. We have a partnership with Kaiser. We provide radiation therapy to their patients. We have a partnership with Sharp Health System for a bone marrow transplant program that we jointly own and we operate. Been very successful both clinically as well as from a financial perspective. We're working on a jointly owned hospice with Scripps Health System.
Oh, no
kidding. And so there are things that we view as community assets that we partner with others. And so I think that's a rational way to approach the market. We have partnerships with the community clinics. We provide a lot of care upon referrals from them, staff some of them with residents, and so we literally have partnerships all over the landscape, and it makes us a better provider.
Oh, that's terrific. And of course, there was back in the day the merger of the pediatrics department with Rady Children's.
Sure.
How is that going?
It's gone spectacularly well. So it's not a very well known fact that our faculty exclusively staffs the VA and also staffs the Rady Children's Hospital. That was part of the amalgamation with Rady Children's Hospital and UC San Diego Health System about a decade ago. And so our clinical faculty totals about 1,350 physicians. 300 of them or so at Rady, 350 something in that neighborhood, and a couple hundred at the VA, and the rest, of course, at our health system. But it's unusual for a medical school to be exclusively staffing both the VA and a children's hospital from a faculty standpoint. It's worked very well.
That's very interesting.
We have a good relationship with Rady's.
And, oh, good.
We do share some training expenses and some infrastructure, and they've done very well, and I think the relationship served both parties well.
I think that's really wonderful. I think in San Diego we have tremendous collaboration, despite the fact that we're a very competitive healthcare marketplace, that I think people are often surprised to find that these wonderful collaborations are taking place. I mean, I know that until I got here, I didn't know that we UCSD staffed the VA. And now, of course, Rady came even after that. So I think it's very interesting.
So this is a remarkably collaborative community. I worked for part of my life in L.A., as I mentioned, at USC. And that's a great community, but it's not nearly as collaborative as it is here in San Diego. And it's not just the healthcare providers. It's also the researchers. We have a very, very close and special relationship with the Salk Institute, with La Jolla Allergy and Immunology, with the Salk the Sanford Burnham Institute, and a number of other research institutions on what's known as the Torrey Mesa, highly collaborative, and you don't see that in a lot of communities.
That's very interesting. I'm the dean of Extension, Mary Walshock, studies the innovation economy, and those kinds of collaborations are really at the heart.
And I think they're pretty rare.
And that's, I think others are trying to learn from her and her books about how to go about doing this.
There's a building not far from here on the UCSD property called the Sanford Consortium, and it is a consortium of what in other communities would be pure competitors. It happens to be us, Salk, La Jolla, Immunology and Allergy, Sanford Burnham, and we all do stem cell research together. And, of course, that's funded by extraordinarily generous gift from Danny Sanford and now some NIH funding and some other grants. But it's remarkable. You would not see that in any other community. Competitors in the same building cooperating and collaborating about stem cell research.
Well, lucky us. I think that's wonderful.
Indeed.
Well, we talk about this innovation and discovery. So I wanted to go back to sort of that environment in the health system. What kinds of technologies are you looking at or testing out or that you think are exciting?
It's unbelievable how many new technologies are being tested and evaluated and tried. And so we're excited about it. The new Jacobs Medical Center, we're going to have what's known as an intraoperative MRI and an intraoperative CT. These are operating suites where patients in the middle of a surgical procedure is paused, and an MRI comes into the room on a track in the ceiling, and the MRI will evaluate whether the surgery is complete or if more surgery is indicated. And I think there are two or three of these in the country, and so remarkably advantageous from a patient standpoint. Big investment, remarkable technology that we're going to be able to provide as a result of that. Same is true with the CT scanners. You don't see these typically in an OR. And you hardly ever see them being used interoperatively, meaning in the middle of a surgical procedure. So that's kind of a one end. It goes all the way to wireless technology, to telemedicine, how to track and monitor patients without having so many wires, hardwired, operating 24 hours a day. So the technological applications are remarkable. IT, of course, drives a lot of this. We have what's known as an EPIC, electronic health record, which is viewed by many as the gold standard in terms of electronic medical records. And the capabilities of that system are really remarkable to track outcomes and to gather data and sort of
exactly
slice and dice the available data for providers.
It really is a linchpin, you know, the electronic medical record for measuring quality and improving it. So I know that the health system was awarded level 7 HIMSS analytics.
Which is a remarkable accomplishment. Only 2% of the health systems in the country have that. And, of course, the ACA has driven this. One of the great parts of the ACA is you know, you have to have these systems to be able to be a provider because you have to track outcomes.
Exactly.
And that's the foundation that will allow payers, Medicare most especially, to then either reward you or penalize you for your actual care and performance. Again, a great thing.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You've mentioned a couple times the Jacobs Tower, the new Jacobs Tower, and so let's talk about that because I think it's pretty darned exciting. Anyone who travels I-5 has to have seen the giant tower going up on the Thornton campus near the Genesee exit. So tell us more about what is happening there and what we can expect.
So the vision of creating a new medical center on our campus dates back many years, and so it's wonderful to see it to come into fruition now. And so the Jacobs Medical Center was envisioned to encompass a lot of specialty care. So we're adding 245 new beds. We're building 14 new inpatient ORs. And this magnificent building, it really is beautiful in every perspective, will literally transform our health system. And we haven't been quite of scale or of scope or magnitude to be a nationally recognized academic health center. We think we will now. And be helped immeasurably by this. So the Jacobs Medical Center will include dedicated pavilions for women's and infants care, for oncology care, as well as for advanced surgical care. So we'll have dedicated floors, for example, 3 dedicated floors for cancer patients, both medical oncology and surgical oncology patients, which sounds simple. You don't see a lot of hospitals dedicating units or floors today. This is so nurses are all trained and team members and treating the same kinds of patients. Faculty and medical staff have their patients cohorted in the same area. Residents and fellows are there. So this is a team delivery aspect. And so, you know, usually you see cancer patients spread out all over a hospital. Here they're all going to be on 3 floors, especially cared for by this team. So we think it offers an awful lot of advantages to us and distinguishes us in the marketplace. So when we think of the Moores Cancer Center, one of 41 nationally recognized comprehensive cancer centers, also an NCCN cancer center, there are 23 of those in the country where they actually established the clinical trials and protocols for clinical care in cancer. So that's the outpatient provision of cancer care. The inpatient provision of cancer care now will be done in the Jacobs Medical Center on those 3 floors. And so we'll have these 2 magnificent centers, one inpatient and one outpatient, that are specially dedicated to just cancer patients. And it's just remarkable.
What a great benefit for the community. Sure people will come from far and wide to be a part of that. Yeah.
So Jake was many years in the planning, $850 million of construction. We will open in July 2016, and we'll be adding those 245 beds. That translates into approximately 1,800 new employees and a couple hundred new faculty, and we're ramping up right now.
Let's talk about that. Okay. I think that's exciting. I mean, these are job opportunities for our community, and that's terrific. And so you think 1,800 new employees.
Correct.
And how do you see those breaking down? What kinds of jobs are we talking about?
I'd say probably about half those jobs would be nursing jobs.
Okay.
And, of course, there'll be nursing managers and leaders as well, but you know, roughly half will be nursing. Mm-hmm. And the rest will be spread out among a number of caregivers and then, some leaders, floor unit managers, et cetera, that will be required as the new hospital opens. So remarkable impact on the economy and most especially on our health system. Again, the specialty services to allow the ability to care for patients that many of whom leave the county today. Of course, we want to keep them here. We get a lot of referrals from other sources, both within the county and outside of the county, to really become known for specialty care, tertiary and quaternary services to distinguish ourselves, really is part of the goal of all this. So we're glad to be adding the capacity. We've been operating at very, very high occupancy rates, unsustainable occupancy rates
the
last couple of years. So this is added and much needed relief in terms of capacity and growth.
Well, that is good news. And I, you know, there are just so many good news items out of that Jacobs Center between the patient care and the employment opportunities and the chance to keep people in San Diego to get their care and attract others perhaps from outside for, you know, an even elevated quality of treatment and that kind of thing. I think it's exciting for us.
It is indeed. We're lucky.
We are. Well, I want to tell you we're out of time.
Okay.
But thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
You're welcome.
You have a big job. And I wish you well in all your efforts. We all want great doctors and great care. So thank you for keeping up the good work.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And thank you, listeners. To be notified of future podcasts, go to extension.ucsd.edu, click on My Extension, and create an account. Our next podcast will be announced through UC San Diego Extension email blast, through LinkedIn, and the UC TV website. Just put The Pulse in the search box. And if you have suggestions for guests you'd like to hear, by all means, let us know by emailing careerchannel@ucsd.edu. For now, this is Leslie Bruce saying here's to your health.